Good afternoon and happy spring to all of you. I'm going to ignore the snow in Chicago today because this is ridiculous. But thank you so much for tuning into Let's Chat Dairy, your favorite weekly market podcast powered by High Ground Dairy. Today's Friday, March 22nd, and you're hearing from Alyssa Badger and Kara Murphy. In case you missed it, we announced another speaker for High Ground's 2024 Global Dairy Outlook Conference, which will be held in Chicago this summer, June 18th through the 20th. Jing Haggart, Vice President of Human Nutrition and Ingredients at Milk Specialties Global, will be joining our protein demand panel alongside Nick Morgan to dish on consumer protein trends and how dairy can fulfill those needs. If you're interested in attending the conference, head over to highgrounddairy.com/conference for more information and registration details. Now, let's hop to it, Kara. You know the drill.
All right. What a whirlwind in the CME spot block cheese this week. Today, it closed at 139 and a quarter, the lowest price since late December 2023. But more notably, this is the lowest price achieved in late March in well over a decade. The closest analog year, in fact, being 2017, and even then, we are still slightly below those levels. January cheddar production was down 8% compared to the prior year, which suggests this is likely more of a demand issue. We hear reports of consumers cutting back on dining out, and retail data shows that mozzarella is favored over cheddar. I'm guessing, under economic strain, more people are eating at home, and pizza is on the menu. In the barrel market, barrel cheese also took a bit of a nosedive this week after climbing to $1.50 per pound on Monday, back to $1.42 half where it closed today with a total of three trades. The blocks to barrel spread inverted again on Monday and currently sits at 3.25 cents. Dry whey further bounced around the low 40 cents per pound area but closed today at 39.5, and after two consecutive weeks with no volume traded at all, this week saw seven trades. In class four, butter still in the low 280s, settling today at 280 and three quarters with six trades. Nonfat dry milk officially fell to a 6-month low, hitting 110 and three quarters yesterday, where it stayed today with a total of 13 trades. Alyssa will dive into the ins and outs of the international market later on, but it's apparent there isn't much interest for U.S. nonfat at the moment.
Thanks, Kara. You know, February milk production data was released for the U.S. this week as well. Any big takeaways?
Absolutely. The outcome was neutral to our expectations. February milk production did fall a substantial 1.3% compared to last year, the most significant decline since January 2022. But the milking herd is quite a bit smaller, sitting at the lowest level since July 2019, which dragged totals down. Milk per cow was down annually as well, down 0.4% year over year, or 7 pounds per head. Producers have made great strides over the past years improving milk per cow, but there comes a point when the lack of cows cannot be made up for. With the smaller herd, it will be some time before cow numbers begin to grow on a year-on-year basis, and producers will carefully manage their culling selections this year to keep assets optimized, which we are also seeing in the slaughter data. Speaking of which, on a year-to-date basis, U.S. total dairy cow slaughter sits just below 100,000 head loss compared to the same time last year. Wow. Region 9, California, continues to lead that charge, down 36,000 head, with Region 10, the Pacific Northwest, following in second, down 19,000 head. Now let's talk Texas. The USDA does not report slaughter state by state, but rather it is broken out by federally inspected regions. Texas, along with New Mexico, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Louisiana, are grouped into Region 6. Texas makes up the bulk of dairy cows in this region, and we are closely monitoring the levels as data is released to understand the impacts from the current dairy cow epidemic affecting the region. The Wisconsin Veterinary Diagnostic Laboratory and the American Association of Bovine Practitioners reports that the disease in this area is predominantly affecting lactating and older dairy cows. Morbidity, the number of animals infected, is on the rise, with estimates that 5 to 10% of herds are impacted. There are no reports of high mortality, but the cows that do not recover in milk production are reported to be culled, which is expected to materialize in the slaughter data in the upcoming weeks. Keep a close eye on that Region 6 slaughter volume, and we will as well.
That about sums up the data that came in on the U.S. market, so let's get into what went on internationally. The second March global dairy trade auction took place on Tuesday, and it was pretty ugly. Every single index fell except anhydrous milk fat. Despite whole milk powder prices from Oceania remaining near prior year levels, North Asia's purchasing remained notably low for this period, as cheap spot milk domestically in China keeps interest low from that region. Typically, these weak levels are observed later in the year from North Asia around July, but they're starting to show up earlier. On skim milk powder, gains were observed from every other region versus year-ago levels, with the exception of North Asia and North America, which accounts for very small volumes anyway. Skim milk powder demand from Southeast Asia improved and moved counter-seasonally higher from the last event, and it was the highest for the second March auction in 5 years. Also from the region, New Zealand released their February milk production figures, and after adjusting for leap year, came in 2.8% higher than prior year on a milk solids basis. This was actually the highest February milk production data on record. Trade figures for the same month just came out as well this Friday afternoon, and the numbers look pretty good, just as they did in January. It's interesting because February exports from New Zealand into China were quite positive as well, though prior year levels were very easy to overcome as 2023 was an incredibly weak year for Chinese demand. New Zealand's total whole milk powder exports jumped 70% from prior year, up 9% on skim milk powder, 55% on anhydrous milk fat, 40% on casein, and 33% on WPC80 and greater. Now let's get back to China. Their January and February trade figures were released at the same time a couple days ago, and they really signaled a challenging start to 2024. Skim milk powder and whey experienced significant declines, and whole milk powder showed some improvement compared to those dismal figures in 2023, although the increase in 2024 was marginal. It still stands as the second worst Jan-Feb total since 2016.
Great recap, Alyssa. I think the last region to discuss is the European Union. Indices fell this Wednesday from the EEX following the relatively bearish GDT event as the calendar moves through spring flush and global demand uncertainty remains prevalent. The cheese market is stable with prices bouncing around a relatively tight margin over the last several weeks. More milk is flowing into cheese vats as the spring flush is underway, but demand is currently sufficient to meet these levels, likely a result of the Easter holidays. The early March rally in butter was short-lived. Prices retreated to levels seen in mid-February this week. Buying activity jumped in preparation for the Easter holiday, but once that demand was filled, there was little else to support the higher price point. That said, butter prices for this time of year still hover well above 2023 and are more reminiscent of 2022.
Awesome. That rounds out our global dairy market update. As a reminder, this is just a small glimpse into what can be found on our High Ground dashboard. So if you aren't a customer, be sure to request a free 30-day trial today to get the latest access to global fundamentals that are impacting the dairy industry. All right. That does it for this week's episode of Let's Chat Dairy. We hope you enjoy the weekend and look forward to chatting with you next week. Cheers. Be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And if you're interested in receiving more information as well as our analysis, please visit highgrounddairy.com to request a free 30-day trial today. Futures and options trading involves substantial risk and is not suitable for all investors.